Leviticus chapter 19. I'm going to be using this really just as a launching pad, hopefully not a pretext, but a starting text. Really, we're not even going to read the entire verse. We'll just read the first part, Leviticus 19, verse 3, right up until that first comma. "Ye shall fear every man his mother." Ye shall fear every man his mother. That's not a bad text to take on Mother's Day, I'll tell you. And we'll get to that a little bit more, but I read of someone trying to draw up a job description for a mother. And they had several different bullet points along the way. They said long-term energetic team players needed for challenging permanent work in a busy and often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication, organizational skills, and be willing to work variable hours, which include evenings and weekends and frequent 24-hour shifts on call. Successful candidates are given a few hours sleep per night for the first few years, increasing to more as you remain in the position. Even during sleeping time, successful candidates should be able to wake up and resume normal duties at a second's notice. There are breaks permitted, but these will be accompanied by small people wherever you go. Be prepared to answer any questions they may ask while you're on your breaks. And then some overnight travel may be required, including trips to basic camping sites, accompanied by large responsibility on rainy weekends and endless sports tournaments in faraway towns and villages. I hope that's not entirely true of all of us there, but it does say travel expenses will never be reimbursed. Somebody said one time, "What is it worth for a wife to stay home?" I said, "Well, as a daycare personnel at 13 and a half hours a week, that equals out to about not just over $9,000 per year. As a chief executive officer of the house, that would bring in at 3.5 hours a week, that'd be $9,000. As a counselor at 7.5 hours per week, that'd be over $14,500 a year. As a cook and a housekeeper, I like this one, laundry operator, all right? Computer operator, facilities manager, as a janitor, as a van driver. All told, in 1 year, the average stay-at-home mother is worth $112,962. That does not include salaries included for teaching, which could include several different grades, which would raise it probably somewhere to $180,000. But I'll tell you this, we don't need a job description, and we certainly don't need a financial breakdown to help us to understand the worth of a mother. And I want to just talk and just give a couple of ideas on how we can honor mothers tonight. But one of the ways that we can honor mothers is to ensure they know their worth. And I'm not talking about a financial worth. I'm talking about the worth that a mother brings into raising the children in the home. Ladies, I know you're going to hate this question. When you go somewhere like to the DMV, and they ask this question, "What's your occupation?" Have you ever got this? "Oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom." Boy, that's just kind of like spitting in somebody's face. There is no such thing as just stay-at-home mothering. What the world says is important and what God says is important is two entirely different things. And I want you to understand that whether you're a mother now or whether you hope to be a mother or whether your children have left the house, I want you to know the investment that you have put into your family is worth the time and energy that you spend and invest in that next generation. You cannot quantify by dollars alone what a mother is worth. I read another article that says, well, the true cost or of a mother staying home is so much more because they're leaving retirement. And really what the whole point of the article was not to give values to mothers, but saying they're foolish to leave the workforce and stay home at all. You see, there's this big thing in America that we just weighed on dollars and cents. And if it makes sense for the mother to stay at home, or if the paycheck after childcare is just not really worth it, then I'll stay home. But listen, if I can have a real good income and still have money left over after I send the kids to daycare, well, then it makes sense for the woman to go back to work. Can I tell you that is completely opposite of what God teaches in His Word? You say, that's kind of archaic, and I wish I could pronounce the word I really want to say, and I can't get it out. But it means out of time and out of place. And it's the word of archaic. No, antiquated is not it. It's, I'll get it. Not out of my mouth, but I'll give it to you later. But when I look at Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I read Leviticus 19:3, well, I read the most important part of it. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In the very beginning of the book of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8, Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 20:20, whoso curseth his father or mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That's the penalty for not honoring your father and mother. Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father and that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That's a stern warning for not honoring your father and mother. Matthew 15:4. It's not just an Old Testament concept. We don't say, well, we're not in that dispensation anymore. We don't have to honor our father or our mother. That's not true at all in Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That's pretty foreboding right there. Mark 7:10 says again, for Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And that's just a smattering of verses that remind us that we ought to be listening to our parents, that we ought to be honoring them. Certainly we are focusing on mothers tonight, but understand that even in Leviticus chapter 19, where it says, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath, I am the Lord your God. That word fear carries with it this idea, and is translated elsewhere in the Bible two different times as reverence, to reverence your mother and your father. You see, I fear, listen, fellas, men, listen very carefully. If your children have a low opinion of your wife, you'd better reevaluate how you're talking to her. If your children don't respect your wife, it's because you're not giving her the honor that she deserves either. And let me tell you, if you are honoring her and your children are not, then it's your fault for not taking care of it. You understand? I heard somebody say earlier today, listen, you don't talk to my wife that way. And I remember having some of those conversations in our house before. I want to give you just a couple, just one or two or maybe three different ways that we can honor our mothers. By the way, if it says honor thy father and mother, honor thy father and mother in the Old Testament, and the New Testament is saying honor, 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 do you then think that God considers mothering an honorable profession, if I could put it that way? Yes, absolutely. You wouldn't think so in this country with the lines that are and the billions of dollars that are spent on abortions, but we know that according to Psalm, 117, that children are an heritage. They're a gift from God of the Lord, an heritage of the Lord. And so listen, parenting, mothering, there is no higher calling for a woman than that. Don't ever let someone else convince you otherwise. You don't have to have a fancy title when you tell people what you do. I hope you stand proudly and say, I'm the mother of my children. I'm the wife of my husband. And let me tell you, if you're doing it right, that is a full-time job. How do we honor our parents? Well, it's different for everyone because mothers are different. But I think there are some principles. I think, certainly, first of all, if you are still in the house, if you are still under the authority of your parents, the primary way that you honor your parents is by obeying them. Now, listen, young people, look up here. Doing what you're told is not enough. There's a little saying that we use in our house, obeying sweetly and completely. All right? Both of those are required in order to honor your father or mother. Listen, if you're told to clean up your room and you, I got to clean up, and you're kicking the can down the road and you're mad and you might go clean up your room, but let me tell you, you've not honored your parents in obeying. You see, obeying is not enough. It's the attitude in which you have as you're obeying. And so you must have the right attitude and the right actions. That's what happens when you're living under the authority of your parents. It doesn't, listen, do you realize nowhere, none of the verses I read tonight put a term limit or an age limit on how long we are to honor our parents. Now, the way we honor them differs when we are under their authority than when we're out. Take your Bibles just very quickly and turn it to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That is God's command. And so what God commands then is for one family unit to be broken apart to start another one. And so no longer when a husband or when a man and a woman come together to get married is his mom and dad or her mom and dad in the chain of command. And so that honoring is no longer about obeying everything they've told you to do, but there is some other ways that we can honor our parents after we move out of the house. But understand, there is a transformation in that family structure when you go. That's why God says that the man is supposed to leave and then cleave. Leave his family and cleave to his wife. That is the new family unit. No longer under his parental authority. So whether you're living in the house or out of the house, I believe not only through obedience when you're in the house, but when you're out of the house, the best way that you can honor your parents is to honor God in your life. The highest goal of parents ought to be to raise children and then entrust them and encourage them to live obediently to God's word. Whenever a child, whether that's a child still in the house or a grown adult child, trusts the Lord, obeys his word, he or she is honoring their parents. Isn't it interesting that we honor our parents when we honor God? And as we are doing that, we are honoring God as well. Not only do we honor our parents when we honor God, but aren't we also honoring God when we're honoring our parents? Do you see? It's kind of a double blessing. It's an act of obedience to God's word. It honors God. And as we honor God, we honor our parents. Let me say this. Honoring parents does not mean the child does what the parents tell them to do when they're no longer under their authority. Now, that's hard sometimes. But I have seen some parents try to step in and control what a young husband does in a family. I've seen some, unfortunately, some mothers step in and try to give, in my opinion, horrible advice. Listen, if you're a mother and a father and your child is growing and they're getting to the place where when they get married, I'm just going to give you just some pastorly advice. Step back. You say, if y'all have an argument, don't come knocking at my door. We got that advice. That was good advice. You know what? We both knew we had to work it out. We didn't have some place to escape off to. You don't need to put your two cents into their relationship. Now, listen, it's great when they come and ask you. And hopefully they've seen God working in your life, and I hope that you have a relationship with them that they know that they'll get godly advice from you. But we need to make sure, as parents, that we're not intruding on their relationship. I think if we're going to honor our parents, we're going to have to forgive them. Do you realize there are no perfect children because there are no perfect parents? And we can keep going up the line right up until you get to Adam and Eve. But that doesn't mean we can blame our faults on them. That doesn't mean we can blame our hang-ups on them. But I think it is good to remember, just like we're not perfect, our mom and dads were not perfect. And whatever failures they might have had, they certainly were human. And they certainly came short in some areas, there's no doubt about that. And if you hold on to that, what that's called is, whether you want to admit it or not, that's called bitterness. And if you are bitter towards your parents, I will tell you, it will strangle and it will poison every other relationship in your life. You see, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, it's the honest truth. If you are struggling with bitterness, it poisons every other relationship that you have. You must learn to forgive your parents. For some, it may not be that big of a deal. But for others, listen, maybe you didn't have the most ideal father. Maybe you didn't have the Proverbs 31 mother. And you say, listen, if only, boy, I appreciated Ethan's testimony. You think, what if God wouldn't allow this little girl to be stranded in a phone booth? Boy, she might have not had an opportunity to get saved, to hear the gospel, to trust the Lord, to change not just her eternity and destiny, but her entire family tree has been affected by that. Let me just kind of close it down in saying, honoring parents may someday require parenting your parents. Isn't it a horrible irony in the day in which we live that those who were once parented by fathers and mothers often find themselves being parented by their children in the latter years of their life? The parent that once fed and changed the child may in the last days of their life be fed and washed and bathed and changed by the children. There may be some that remember what it was like to hold a baby that didn't recognize them at first, then taking care of a parent who does not recognize them in the end. That's difficult. We live in a sin-fallen, cursed earth. And those things like Alzheimer's and dementia, they're painful. But I tell you, we can still give them dignity and honor and the deference that they deserve. There is no expiration on honoring our parents. Listen, sometimes it may mean making a choice that would be against their will. Sometimes it may be as serious as how long to allow artificial life, those life-preserving devices. I don't think there's any thought less pleasant than considering some of those end-of-life choices. By the way, I really recommend having a medical, not medical power of attorney, but of a will. A living will. Thank you, Doc. A living will. Don't force your children to make a choice on whether or not to extend artificial life. Now listen, I'm for preservation of life. And let me just put it this way. As I understand, as I read the Bible, preservation of life is making sure that they have the nutrients, the food, and the hydration, and all the different things that they need. That is not the same as artificial life as far as the breathing and being intubated and things like that. And I know I'm talking about some very personal choices, but understand there's a big difference in taking somebody's feeding tube away as there is shutting off a machine that's causing them to breathe. And so when we come down to that, I think it's our responsibility as children to give them that comfort as much as we can, but also to preserve their life. But preserving their life is making sure that they have the food and the water and whatever medication they may need. Those are hard choices to make, but I think we can still honor our parents and as we navigate those difficult choices. And so as we think about how we honor our parents, you know, I think it's good to reach out to them, to make time for them. I think if I were to ask, you don't need to raise your hand, but I know there's many in here whose mothers have already gone to be with the Lord or no longer with them. And boy, if they could spend just one more phone call or one more visit, they would do almost anything they could just to sit down one more time and say, "Mom, thank you for raising me." Listen, there are many of you that are sitting here tonight that still have that opportunity. Don't squander it. Give a phone call, not just one day a year. This ought to be a reminder and a highlight of what mothers do, but it should not be the only day of the year that you stop and say, "Mom, thank you for being my mother." Ladies, you have the highest calling. You're preparing the next generation to be out in the workforce, to be in the ministry, but most of all, to serve the Lord in whatever God calls them to do. That has worth that is beyond any compensation or chart that someone could make. Listen, we want to thank you for your investment in your children, because they're the ones that are raising the next generation and the generation after that. You'll have no idea, I don't think even in this world, the impact that you have, not just on your children, but listen, on the world in which you live as you invest your life in that next generation. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your good.